When we pass through times of darkness and pain, it may seem as if God has abandoned us. However, the valley of the shadow of death is the very place where believers can experience God's presence like never before. Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we will hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Psalm 23, verse 4a, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
This evening we continue our series of messages on Psalm 23 by looking at verse 4a. These words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And with God's help, we want to look at the theme of the shepherd's protection. The shepherd's protection and its fruits. It promotes first spiritual growth, second spiritual courage, and third spiritual companionship. Spiritual growth, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Spiritual courage, I will fear no evil. And spiritual companionship, for thou art with me. A shepherd in Israel leads his sheep to different pastures at various times of the year. Sometimes sheep must graze at lower altitudes in the winter when the heights are too cold. Other times, in the heat of summer, the shepherd takes the flock to higher regions. And so with the transitions in the season, also come times when the sheep need to travel, need to make transitions. And here in Psalm 23, we see evidences of this transitional period in the life of David's sheep. Sheep must pass through valleys that they would not otherwise visit as they make these transitions. And verses 4 and 5 of this famous psalm describe for us dangers and difficulties that are only implied in the first half of the psalm. So now the language becomes more graphic, more personal, more profound, more intimate between the shepherd and the sheep. Did you notice, for example, that as we move towards verse 4, there's a transition. David now speaks of God, not in the third person, but in the second person. The first three verses, it's he, it's a third person designation. But in verses 4 and 5, he moves toward a second person, thou. And that transition coincides with the transition to a deeper, more intimate relationship with God, which we need when we're passing through the valley of the shadow of death. When we pass through deep trials, when we pass through grave difficulties, and even death itself, the presence of the shepherd becomes more intimate to a bleating, needy sheep. And so just like a child at play in a room will run to you when lightning flashes and thunder booms, so God's children will cling to their own personal shepherd when the sky darkens and the storm comes and they must walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so what David is saying here is that the valley of death really becomes the valley of presence. The valley of the presence, the intimate presence of the glorious, personalized shepherd. And David understood this experience, of course, from his own shepherding of his father's sheep. Many times he led his father's flock along paths in the valley of the shadow of death. Philip Keller writes, David knew from firsthand experience about all the difficulties and dangers, as well as the delights of the treks into high country, as well as all the dangers of rampaging rivers in flood, avalanches, rock slides, poisonous plants, the ravages of predators that raid the flock, or the awesome storms. So David knew what it was like to lead sheep through such dangers. And he summarizes it all in this precious symbol of the Lord's protection of his people through the gravest of dangers and difficulties and death itself, when he says, yea, with certainty, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, this is a victorious verse, not because it's lacking in difficulty and danger and distress, but precisely because those things are present. But David not only goes into the valley with his sheep and walks down the valley's corridor, but he comes through the valley in a purposeful motion, looking unto God, looking unto the Good Shepherd, and the Shepherd's protection brings the sheep through. And that is what is so immensely encouraging about this text. The shepherd's protection is not stagnant. It's not merely defensive. The sheep don't remain in the valley. Rather, the sheep progress and grow under the shepherd's guidance, as the very factors that threaten its life, its well-being, become opportunities in the shepherd's hand for positive change and growth. And so what I want to do is show you now how that walking through the valley of the shadow of death promotes growth in darkness, in difficulties, and in death. Let's look at all three of those. First, darkness. David is saying that he makes progress in spiritual growth while walking through valleys of dark shadows. The very words shadow of death can be translated as deep shadow from Hebrew, or deep gloom. The kind of valley that David is alluding here to is a narrow, rocky gorge. Let me give you a description by a Middle Eastern shepherd describing one of these valleys of the shadow of death. He says this: the path plunges downward into a deep and narrow gorge of steep precipices overhung by frowning sphinx-like battlements of rocks. The rocks almost touching each other overhead. Its side walls rise like the stone walls of a great cathedral. The valley is about 5 miles long, yet it is not more than 12 feet at the widest section of the base. And you see, for most of the day, the low parts of such valleys remain in the shade, which is a symbol of great distress, dark affliction, heavy trials, imminent danger that God's sheep, true believers, experience on the way to the celestial city. David refers to that several places. Psalm 44:19, thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. Psalm 107, verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. So what are these difficulties? Well, they can be temporal. They can be illnesses, accidents, broken homes, relationships in disrepair, business failures. You name it. You know your own trials in life. Or they can be spiritual darknesses, conflicts such as sins of the heart, enticements of the world, assaults of the devil. They can be darknesses that come upon us because of sins of others, sins of the church, sins of the nation, sins of the world. We're certainly living through that in an extraordinary way right now in our country. God has not promised to exempt His flock from dark, deep valleys of tribulation in this world. Actually, He says that we should not think it strange when fiery trial tests us. 1 Peter 4:12. And we are called in those valleys, in those darknesses, to take up our cross, to follow Him and deny ourselves. In fact, we're warned that we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven without passing through some of these valleys, without passing through much tribulation. Puritan John Preston put it so quaintly when he said, "If you mean to follow Christ, do look for a rainy day. It may be it is a fair morning, but we don't know what the evening will be. Shall a man go to sea and not look for storms? Shall a soldier go to war and not look for enemies?" Believers need to expect dark valleys in this world. Unbelievers may endure troubles with a kind of stoic grin, and they may say, "Well, you just have to smile and bear it." They perhaps don't seem to complain much. That is the better of them. But the true Christian receives these dark valleys from the redemptive hand of God and seeks grace like an unbeliever never will to spiritually profit and grow from the darkness. And to receive both sunshine and storm as a gift of our Savior, remembering that both are designated to us by God. Witness the life of Job. And both are designated to us, designed for us, to help us forward in the way to heaven, to work spiritual growth in us. And isn't it true, dear child of God, that your greatest growth spurts, like a young person that's growing up and has these growth spurts and grows a couple inches in a few months, are precisely the times when you've been in the deepest, darkest valleys. And God has sanctified those valleys to you. And so for a believer, when spiritually exercised by these dark valleys, whether they're personal, whether they're familial, whether they're ecclesiastical, whether they're national, whether they're worldwide, we should ask less the question, "Why am I suffering?" and pray more, "How can I grow through these trials to be closer to Christ and become more like Him?" You see, the valley of darkness, which we dread, becomes the place of learning to say, "Thou art with me." And learning to sing in the valley, "Jehovah is my strength and tower. He is my happiness and song. He saves me in the trying hour. Hence shall my mouth His praise prolong." But then secondly, the shepherd's protection produces spiritual growth not only in darkness, but also in various difficulties. You see, the valley of the shadow of death is a multiple image symbol. It's not only a symbol of darkness, but it's also a symbol of a closely associated thing that we may call difficulties. Difficulties. The path to heaven is not an easy path. It's like a hard trek up a rough trail. And the Hebrew word for valley indicates a chasm or deep ravine with steep sides and a narrow floor, as I said, but a narrow floor that is also a difficult and dangerous path. You've got to watch the floor to know where to put your feet. The actual path on the solid rock is so narrow, writes one shepherd, that in places the sheep can hardly turn around in case of danger. So traveling such paths is hard work. But the point David is saying is it's the only way. It's the only way to heaven. It involves spiritual labor, difficulties with sin and with Satan and the world opposing the sheep of God. All the while, Satan hounding you, seeking to destroy you when you get into those narrow spots of difficulty. Philip Henry, the father of the famous commentarian Matthew Henry, said this: our journey is uphill in the valleys. The devil, all the while, doing what he can to pull us back down. You see, if you're a believer, you yearn to abide in mountaintop experiences of intimacy with God. You want to be in the Mount of Transfiguration, and you want to say with Peter, let us abide here, Lord. But we may never forget that the way to high ground is almost always through dark and dangerous valleys. If God is going to really make us holy, He's going to exercise us so that we exercise ourselves unto godliness, 1 Timothy 4 says. And that takes personal discipline, sustained effort. Holiness is by unmerited grace, but it's not by lazy, indifferent grace. Sanctification demands endurance. It demands exertion. Watson said, 'tis sweating work all the way to glory. It calls for commitment and diligence and repentance. Puritan Jonathan Edwards resolved never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. You see, in the deep, dark, difficult valleys, when we are hindered by remaining sin, when we're hindered by the agony of inner conflict with our worldly nature, we must go on, even then, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, killing sin. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the good news is the Holy Spirit helps us in the difficult valleys. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit does that without our involvement. He doesn't do it somewhere outside of us. The Holy Spirit works in us and with us, not against us or without us. So that His assistance is an encouragement to help us kill sin and to grow through every difficulty along life's pathway. And that's just the challenge for us, because we're grateful for the Holy Spirit's help, of course. And yet we tend to shrink from hardship. We tend to shrink back from trials. We love holiness. We say we do. But so seldom do we really understand that God's pathway of holiness for us is usually a chosen pathway of hardship as well. So when we ask, why do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? The real answer is the verse before, which we saw a few weeks ago, because He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See, that's not the route we would choose. We would choose a wide, easy path. It's like going hiking in the woods. You see a nice, easy path. It just seems more pleasant to travel rather than a rocky, steep one. But you see, God's path for us is often not the route we would choose. The Lord does not shepherd us in the easy pathways to advance our earthly comfort and honor. But He shepherds us for His name's sake. And to be conformed to His name and to really walk the paths of righteousness. What God does most of the time is He takes us through the valley of the shadow of difficulty. And too often, you see, we forget that God is the end of all things, and that we exist only for His glory, and that therefore these paths are good for us. You see, every time you try to make God the means to your end, you will experience failure. And then your path can be easy and wide and have no valleys, but you won't grow. You won't grow. So what David is saying is, my shepherd is my loving guide. If He can save me from dark valleys, He will do so, but not at the price of losing my holiness and diminishing His glory. That's why no child of God is exempt from the school of suffering. But our Master, our Shepherd Master, will not desert us in difficult valleys. But He promises even then, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Dear child of God, if I asked you all to raise your hand tonight, if you could say this, I've grown the most through the valley of darkness and through the valley of difficulty, I think nearly every hand would go up. We need valleys. Shall we come to the heights of the celestial city in the last day? But we need them not only in darkness and in difficulty, but even in death itself. Finally, the shadow of death can refer to actual death, physical death, separation of soul and body, spiritual death, separation of soul from God. Eternal death, separation of soul and body from God forever. And no one can express the horrifying reality of death in any kind of formal definition. By nature, we're blind to our present spiritual death and our fast approaching eternal death. But David appears to be speaking here also of those things that lead to physical death. That death that was unnatural to us before the fall, that we chose in the fall, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die, and that is inevitable since the fall. For the wages of sin is death. And death is something we don't want to think about. We don't want to talk about our death. We don't even really want to talk very often about the death of other people. We're escapists in the matter of death. We scrupulously avoid thoughts and conversations about death. We even substitute words or phrases for death. Or we hide death under flower-bedecked coffins. We refuse to confront its grim reality. We don't want to think about the fact that two people in this world are dying every single second. 120 every single minute. Of course, we know that death is inevitable, but we want to act as if we're going to keep on living. And we read the Bible, it's appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We gloss over it and we keep reading without stopping to think. When we should be preparing ourselves for death always. Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. How death can be a deep, dark valley, you see. Even for a child of God. It's terrifying, of course, for the ungodly, because they've got no future. But even for God's people, death is a king of terrors. And as they lay dying, sometimes their sins can rise up against them and the devil can assault them. And in the midst of pain, physical pain, they may feel spiritual distance from God. And yet Scripture offers believers great reasons to hope and to grow even in the deep, dark valley of the shadow of death. It tells us several things. It tells us their living Lord has conquered death, and therefore precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints because they're going to be with Him. It tells us also that they are carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And it tells us that death ushers them into the Father's house to be at home with the Lord forever. Death is actually a gift to the people of God when they die in Christ, because it rolls them into the presence of, as one old Scottish divine said, death is a wheelchair that rolls me into the presence of my Savior, where wheelchairs are needed no more. Recently, I read of Thomas Halliburton, a great Scottish minister and professor who died at the age of 38 or 39. And he's on his deathbed, and a friend asked him how he did the night before. And he said, not well, not well. He said, I was in great conflict, besieged by terrifying thoughts of God, unable to clearly see evidences of my own salvation. He was going through the valley of the shadow of death. 3 days later, he was brought through the valley, and his struggle finally led him to hope. He said, here I am now, a man, a weak man, in hands with the King of Terrors, rejoicing in the hope of the glory that is to be revealed, that by the death and resurrection of a despised Christ, I will be saved forever. Then he paused for a moment. He was able to lean up on one arm as he's dying. And he said, come, come, sweet Lord Jesus. Come and take me by the hand, that I may not stumble in the dark valley of death. 3 days after that, he died. And one of his last acts was, just as he was dying, he clapped his hands when someone asked him whether he was hoping in the Lord. He couldn't speak anymore, but he was able somehow to move his hands, and he clapped affirmation. What a way to die.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live.